Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Where to Go. If you haven't listened before, I'm James Atkinson, online brand manager at DKR Witness.
And I'm Lucy Richards, senior editor.
And this is our third episode, and it's quite a big one today. Today we'll be looking at New York City. Dynamic and diverse, New York City is simply bursting at the seams with unmissable sights, mouth-watering cuisines, and truly unique experiences. From the soaring skyscrapers of Manhattan to the trendy bars of Brooklyn, the vibrant jazz clubs of Harlem to the cobblestone streets of Soho, the city offers everything in abundance.
However, recent months have seen New York City hugely impacted by coronavirus, at one time becoming the epicenter for the pandemic. And as the city is starting to recover from it, and we see positive signs locally, the overall COVID picture in the USA is a pretty bleak one, at least in the short term.
So to discuss all things New York City with us, we thought we'd talk with some experts, Lauren Paley and Kwaku Olsen. Lucy, you're actually working with both Lauren and Kwaku on a particularly exciting project, right?
Yes, we are. We're working on a series here in-house, it's written by locals, and it's dedicated to showing readers alternative and more local ways of experiencing a city. So forget all of those tourist traps that we all know and love, but we're showing you real ways to see and experience the city, find hidden gems, and support local businesses, and all of which will be all the more important in a post-COVID world.
Sounds really interesting. And that series is called Like a Local, which we'll get to discussing a bit later.
That's right. Yes.
So without further ado, welcome Kwaku and Lauren. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I'm confused.
Whenever.
We've got a bit of transatlanticism going on here.
Yeah.
Very, very nice to have you guys join us to talk about all things New York City.
Happy to be here.
So we're going to start by looking at New York City before coronavirus. And Kwaku, when did you first move to New York City? How long ago was it?
Yeah, so it was almost exactly 5 years ago. I moved in 2015. When I first came to the city, I was living in Harlem, uptown. Mm-hmm. And these days I'm in Brooklyn, so I've worked my way out of Manhattan into the outer boroughs. I'm liking it.
What made you move to Brooklyn? What's that?
Originally I wanted to live in Brooklyn when I moved to New York. I had a few friends in Brooklyn. But I don't know, kind of that scramble for finding an apartment in New York, I don't know, it feels like it's kind of unique to the city in the States.
Yeah.
And I needed to find a place in 2 weeks, and Harlem was the spot to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like I had a pretty good deal there too. I loved the neighborhood, but getting home from like late nights out at sunrise was starting to become less and less ideal. So I think for social reasons, really, I moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah. And has that improved things, Kwaku? Is living in Brooklyn better for those early starts or late finishes, rather?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting a lot more sleep. So that's good. You know, I might have even grown an inch. Just lifestyle better as a whole.
Good.
Yeah.
And how about you, Lauren? I know you're currently not in New York. You're upstate and have left for the past couple of months. But where would you usually be?
So I usually live in East Village, downtown in Manhattan. And it's wonderful. I love it. Yeah, but I never really moved to New York. I don't know what the term is, but I grew up pretty close to New York, like 20 miles north. So New York was always kind of the place where it's, oh, of course, you're going to go back to New York. It's just kind of home. So that's where I ended up.
Dora, now your family from New York. They're not, are they? Where are they from?
Yeah, my mom's from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Like deep, deep Brooklyn. I don't even think they had subway lines that used to go to where she lived. like super deep. But my dad is from Ohio, but he moved here when he was in his 20s. So he's been here for like 45 years, a lifetime.
Okay.
And was it never in doubt that you were going to stay in New York, Lauren, or did you kind of debate about moving elsewhere? Because you studied in France, right?
Right. Well, okay. I'm going to say something kind of blasphemous right now. So I haven't always loved New York.
Whoa.
And after I think it was because growing up really close to the city, it was just in your backyard and it was just so close to home that you kind of, you don't even really think about it. And so I was obsessed with Europe, obviously. So when I graduated college, I moved to France and I was like, oh, I'm living the dream. It's amazing. And when I moved back to New York, I kind of did so by default. And it wasn't until I had been here and kind of like found my own pockets in the city that I kind of realized, oh, this city is really cool. And it's way more amazing than I ever gave it credit for when I was a stupid 16-year-old.
And Kweku, you moved from Canada, right, originally, or did you come to the States for uni?
Yeah, so I have a very like convoluted migration history, but so directly before moving to New York, I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina for a couple of years.
Okay.
So that's in the southern United States. Yeah, it's a nice area, a lot of good nature, whitewater rafting, barbecue, and within 2 years, I'd done it all as many times as I wanted to do it.
Yep.
So I'm originally from Canada, and I really didn't know what I was doing. I just knew I wanted to get out of the South. I'd been there for a while. Mm-hmm. And I tried to move back to Toronto.
Yeah.
I tried to ask for forgiveness and not permission. I just went and didn't tell my job. And it became like a whole payroll tax issue. And that's how I was saying I had 2 weeks to find an apartment in New York.
Oh.
So when I was in Toronto, I was told, no, you need an American address. So I was just like, all right, let me go to New York then. I had a few friends that were already living there. I was trying to decide between New York and Seattle.
Okay.
And I love Seattle, but I think I made the right choice. Yeah. I think I've gotten the most out of New York in my 20s. So
Yeah, definitely. They're very different cities, aren't they, New York and Seattle?
Definitely, yeah. New York's definitely a lot busier. It's a lot grittier, dirtier. But I like it. It's really cosmopolitan. And I feel like I have everything I want here. So not really wanting for anything.
Are you planning on going back to Toronto? Or are you kind of just like happy being in New York?
I think at this stage, I'm just happy being in New York.
Yeah.
And New York's expensive. Toronto's expensive. Toronto's even colder.
Sure.
So
yeah, that's fair enough.
Happy
yeah.
that tiny bit warmer, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think it's different now too. Then I didn't really know what I was doing. Now I'm kind of settled in here. My life's here, and I like it a lot here.
Because I guess with cities like New York, there's as Lauren was saying, you kind of find little pockets that become your own. And it, you know, I think it's true of quite a lot of major cities where, you know, you create your own kind of mental map of the city and you realize what are the best pockets to go to.
Yeah.
You probably realize that you're done going to Times Square forever again. I'm saying this jokingly because I know Lauren works in Times Square.
I do. So. I do indeed.
But nothing against Times Square. But
I'm here for all the Times Square slander.
Pile it on.
Yeah. I was staying there last time.
I was too.
Yeah. It's a
tourist
trap. It's the first thing we see. But I think you kind of like move beyond that. You find little pockets of the city that are really, really kind of become yours, where your friends might live or where, you know, cool bars or cafes or gigs or places to go out might be. And yeah, it's really cool. And for you guys, where would you say that is? Is it where you live? Is it kind of the village or Brooklyn? Or would it be kind of dotted all over, really?
Yeah, I mean, for me, definitely, I've spent so much of my time in the East Village and the Lower East Side. And when I think of New York and I think of my favorite places, that's where it is. And whenever people come to New York, I'm super biased. I'm like, you need to come to my neighborhood because it's the best neighborhood because that's... You know, because that's kind of my version of New York, the New York that I've created. It's like with all of my favorite coffee shops and all of my favorite little bars. I took Lucy to an amazingly cute little bar that was, it was very romantic the night we went.
It was very, very romantic, yes.
It was wonderful. We had a nice little cozy evening with cider and live music.
Ciders. That's right. It was lovely. It was a great date night.
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Kweku? Is Brooklyn, do you consider Brooklyn to be like, you know, the pièce de résistance of New York City life?
Yeah, yeah, I would say the exact same thing as Lauren. I'm very biased. And when I was living in Harlem, it would have been Harlem for me.
Sure.
And even still, I have, you know, just these little places in Harlem that I romanticize and take people to whenever I go up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, a few years ago, I was in Bushwick all the time.
Yep.
I think Bushwick has the best nightlife in New York. Where I live now in Crown Heights, I'm really close to Prospect Park, close to downtown Brooklyn, close to Dumbo.
Lovely.
And have all my little neighborhood spots as well. Have my local bar.
Nice.
Well, a couple bookshops around here. So.
Oh, you've got everything you need.
Yeah, everything. You know, even during the pandemic for like 2 months, I didn't leave my block. Yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm very biased too. And I definitely veer towards Brooklyn.
That's cool. So then pretending that James and I didn't know anything about New York City, can you briefly introduce...
Yeah, disclaimer, both of us have been.
Yes. Yeah. Can you briefly kind of introduce it? Can you tell people what to expect from New York City?
New York is so many things. It is, as Kweku said, it's dirty. It's always a little bit dirty, a little bit smelly. But it's also extremely vivacious, and it's a really thrilling feeling, I think, to be in New York. But also, I think New York, it's really hard to describe, obviously, big question, because to me, New York has so many different personalities. You go to Midtown and you get the beautiful, glitzy, modern skyscrapers, and then you go downtown to the Lower East Side and you get these beautiful old tenement museum, tenement buildings, and just these old shops, you know, like Russ and Daughters, the oldest bagel shop that used to be a push cart in the 1800s. And then you go into Brooklyn and you get a little bit more greenery. You feel like you're being a little bit less suffocated. That's not a cohesive answer at all, but that's kind of what it is to me. Multifaceted. I'm going to let Kweku give this one a try.
I think that's a really good answer, because I think that just the whole mosaic of New York is, I mean, it's so cosmopolitan, it's so diverse.
Yeah.
So many people from so many different backgrounds, socioeconomically, I mean, you see everything here. You see exorbitant wealth, and then, you know, you see there are a lot of people that need help in this city too.
Yeah.
So you experience a lot living here. And I'd say just introducing New York to people, a lot of people come to New York with preconceived notions.
Mm.
New Yorkers have this stereotype of being brash and being rude. And I think it's exactly the opposite.
Mm.
I actually appreciate people's attitude here. A lot of people are very direct.
Yeah.
Like I said before, I lived down south for a while where, you know, everything, it's all about politeness, you know. You know, you soften everything you're saying up. But here, I mean, I feel like things are transactional. People are very quick to help. If you're lost, need directions, you'll have like 10 people jumping all over you to tell you the best route somewhere. I think New Yorkers are just the best. So I think people will come with a lot of preconceived notions, and those will be broken down if they're here for a while.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's. I think from when I visited personally, like you kind of get this like kind of idea in your head of like New York from movies and from like kind of documentaries, and you kind of go there and you actually realize that it's very different. It's got its own kind of culture about it. People are super, super friendly in places and really, really helpful. And there's this kind of notion of pride, I think, that runs through New York as well, which is just totally don't see or hear about in any of the stories, really.
And it's sort of, you both kind of hit on it when you, I think, Kweku, you described it as a mosaic, which was such a lovely description. And I think it is kind of a city of cities. It does seem to, you know, Lauren, you were kind of describing moving south, you know, downtown and then going across to Brooklyn. It just seems to have so many different sort of bases to it.
Yeah. And I think also there's a certain, as James, you were saying, there's this intense pride about being a New Yorker, because it's really not an easy place to live. Like, rents are high. As I said, it can be a little bit smelly. It can be a little bit overwhelming, but we all kind of get through that. And we all kind of have built up this threshold of, okay, we're going to kind of deal with all of these things that are maybe not as nice about living in New York, because it's worth it, because we love it so much, because it has some of the best food in the world. It has the best theaters. Yeah. And there's all of these things that just every single day make it worth it to put up with some of the other stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's such a great point. Even before, you know, I was saying how I feel like I've kind of settled in here. It's like after you get through that first year, which might be a bit difficult, you just ask yourself, well, what am I, a quitter? Why would I leave this now? Like I've made it through the tough part. Now let me enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's this crazy like badge of honor that you wear when you've been a New Yorker and you consider yourself a New Yorker for a few years. It's like, okay, I have been cursed off by a cabbie. Check. I have
Do you actually call them cabbies? That's
actually, now that I say that, no.
That sounds too British. That's way too British.
From all your time in Europe.
I've just been,
been talking to me too much, Laura.
I talk to these guys way too much. I'm trying to think of like the checklist of every crazy thing that happens to a New Yorker in your lifetime. It's definitely almost getting hit by a cab, if not getting actually hit by a cab. Trying every single kind of food that you could possibly imagine. Like in one block, there will be like Indian food, Georgian food, Italian food, Japanese food, literally anything you could possibly imagine. I'm trying to think of other crazy things on a checklist.
Yeah, I think everyone has tried to be helpful to somebody, helped them out, and then been cussed out at the end of helping them out. It's always a nice
100%.
Bizarre feeling. Yeah.
When you were mentioning about the smells, all I can think about, like all of my, like, I don't know, like smell memory of New York is the bloody subway. Like I can't like kind of get past that. It's and actually it's like the more and more times I've gone back to New York, the more I've been able to deal with it. And the more I've even weirdly, like perversely looked forward to it. It's just such a weird New York-y thing. It's that smell of like sulfur. And
that is so strange, James.
So if you can make it, yeah, it really is. So if you can
magnet
make
dust.
It to me, if you can make it a year living through that. Yeah. Cool. And like you guys, I mean, I know you guys have all been talking about this new book, Like a Local New York, which you've all been working on with Lucy. And Kwaku, Lucy kind of originally found you because you put some recommendations on an app about the city and what you should be kind of going to see, and kind of an alternative map of the city, I guess, in a way. What kind of made you start writing recommendations? Was it just like kind of documenting your own kind of personal favorite places?
Yeah, I feel like my migration history, I don't know, I just do things weird. Like it's another complicated answer. So by day, I'm a software engineer. And that was probably about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I was learning about mapping things, doing like geospatial analysis and coding in Python.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started thinking about use cases, because I'm also always trying to think about how to make my own money and not work for somebody.
Yep.
So I started thinking about how to actually map things out. And somehow in that rabbit hole of Googling, I found this app called Cool Cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing like one of the type of things I was looking at as a use case. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I read a couple articles and I actually just downloaded it as a user. I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go to Paris next year. This would be great to have in my pocket. And then they just had like a little form on there that said, hey, if you want to help out, you know, submit some info on yourself. They actually didn't have New York as a city yet.
Okay.
And as soon as I submitted it, they were saying, oh, wow, we're actually like planning on launching New York next month. So I started working with them and it was really cool. It got me around the city, visiting new places. I think that that combined with the fact that I also love people visiting and kind of creating an itinerary and showing them my experience in the city.
Put
me into that space.
Well, I've definitely struck gold when I found you, Kwaku. I was absolutely chuffed. Like your recommends, all of your listings were just really awesome. I loved your writing style. So I was yes, found a great new writer.
Did you visit any of Kwaku's recommends in
New York? Unfortunately, so I was in New York literally just before the lockdown, a few days, wasn't I, Lauren? We were drinking ciders together a few days before New York City went into lockdown. And then it was sort of more April, May time that I started to commission. So unfortunately I wasn't able to, but that'll change when I come back to New York and vice versa. I've already said to these guys, when they come to London, we're doing a East End pub crawl.
And James needs to come too.
Looking forward to it.
You're also welcome to do a South London pub crawl as well.
Guys, East is better. East is better.
I'm seeing you guys like Village versus Brooklyn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's kind of like what you said, Kwiku, about like kind of going back to Harlem and like showing people around with pride, because I used to live in East London and I still love going over there and taking people around, and then have like a small tear in my eye as I'm heading back to South London.
So, James, you're welcome back anytime. We'll have you back.
And like, if there's like kind of one thing, like say someone comes to New York or the city for the first time, what would it be? What, like, if you could name only one thing, have you got a kind of particular favorite?
You can't ask us that. That's ridiculous. Okay, I can't give you one thing, but I could give you a series of things for one night.
Oh, great. Okay. Give us an itinerary.
Go, yeah.
So, okay, whenever friends from out of town visit, you have to take them to Comedy Cellar in the West Village. It is just, it's a must. Amazing. Celebrities drop in. It is always hilarious. And it's just a really cozy, funky vibe. And comedy is so important to the fabric of New York City that I just think it's like a must visit. And then obviously you can't just go to Comedy Cellar. There's never only one thing. So I would say if you can, I would include kind of walking up and down McDougal Street and checking out some of the amazing food on that block, and then veering off into Washington Square Park, which is right next to that whole street. And it's just, it is the place to go people watching. It is insane. There's people like doing weird shows. There's people taking beautiful pictures in front of that little Arc de Triomphe type thing. It is just like the place to hang out on a summer night and just like feel the intensity and the vibes, I guess, of New York.
Biku, how about you? What's Lauren missed, or what would you, you know, add to that?
Or would you do a night in a different part?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to even stay in that same area, because I think hitting McDougal Street, she hit a really, just a really dope part of New York where there's a lot of things to do. She was talking about the Comedy Cellar, going to Washington Square Park. And even across from the Comedy Cellar, there's a Blue Note, which has a lot of the best, like, jazz and any types of music, really, just live performances. It's a real cozy venue. It's really, it's like a classic venue, too.
Yeah.
So it's a place where you know you can see some great music. Even right outside the subway on West 4th, there's a basketball court. It's just the West 4th cage, the West 4th basketball court.
Yeah.
Where you see like a lot of really good players come out sometimes. You'll see like former And One players, or, you know, people who have like a big presence on social media being basketball players there. So going out in the Village is one of those areas where you never know who you're going to run to. I think even at the Comedy Cellar, I remember after Roots Picnic a few years ago,
that's cool.
This is how I get so much FOMO. One of my friends asked me if I wanted to go to a Comedy Cellar. And I was like, nah, man, I've done too much. I'm just going to go head back home, do my thing. So I started watching their Snapchat story later in the day. And that was the day when Jerry Seinfeld came out, just doing a surprise show. None of these were scheduled.
No.
Seinfeld, Chris Rock joined him on stage. No. And they started, you know, going back and forth with each other. Aziz Ansari came out and practiced his set. And then Dave Chappelle came and closed this thing out. So I've had trouble saying no to things
ever since.
Much.
Yeah, it's probably given you like a complex about it. I can never ever say no again.
You can never say no to Comedy Cellar.
You can't.
Every New Yorker has that experience of saying no to Comedy Cellar and then getting the Snapchat of some famous person or famous trio, and you're like, what have I done? I've made a horrible mistake.
You're saying like New York's like the kind of the home of comedy as well, and like that's kind of, I mean, you've got four comedians there who are like right at the top of like some of the first comedians you think of when you think of New York. Oh man, that would give me serious FOMO.
Yeah.
Always say yes, James.
Yes.
Learn from Quiggy's mistake.
Yeah. I went through that, so you didn't have to go through that.
Yeah. Okay. You've heard it here first.
So now we're discussing the present and how New York City is recovering from the impact of coronavirus.
For context, we're recording this in late July, and New York City is starting to see some of the lowest coronavirus numbers in the country. However, March and April were a completely different picture as the city entered into a strict lockdown. So obviously we know New York City was badly affected by the coronavirus, with the city, you know, essentially completely locked down for quite a few months. Mm. Kwiku, what do you kind of remember of that time?
So I remember early on, it feeling like a distant thing, like it was going on in China, but I mean, I think people were kind of thinking of it like SARS was a few years ago, how it's kind of handled. But this has, of course, been a lot more infectious. And we've done a very bad job over here of containing it, at least at the very beginning, right? So I do remember that early stage when California sheltered in place. I think Imperial College of London had their report come out about the projections of if nothing was done, how many millions of people would be affected. And from then, the city just completely shut down. It was like overnight. People weren't walking outside anymore. This was even before people were wearing masks. So, I mean, everyone was just frightened, scared, didn't know what to do. Yeah. So everyone was really just holding up inside. Like you would look outside and there would just be no movement. It was like the city was dead, or at least where I live, it was like that. I'm sure different places had different experiences, but yeah.
And then Lauren, you left the city, didn't you? We were having ciders one day, and then a few days later you headed upstate. So kind of, you know, what prompted you to leave?
Well, I actually didn't leave because of the coronavirus. I was getting, I got LASIK eye surgery that Friday that everything shut down.
Okay.
And right. I know, as one does in a pandemic, I got elective eye surgery. In retrospect, unclear what I was thinking. Yeah. But so I was going to go home to see my parents to kind of recover for that weekend anyway. And then I said, you know, this coronavirus feels like it might be a big thing. I'm not really sure. I'm getting a little bit scared. So I'll pack like a couple of extra pairs of shirt, like pants, and then I'll go home for maybe a week or two. And then cut to 4 months later, here I still am outside of the city. So I think I would have come up to see my parents because it's a little bit more spacious here. Obviously, my apartment in the East Village is minuscule, as East Village apartments are. So I think I would have come up here eventually, but me having that surgery and going home kind of sparked it in a really quick way. And my roommate actually, I think because I was leaving, she ended up going home that weekend too. And we've both been out of the city for quite a bit at this point.
Are you heading back at any point soon, or are you just kind of, you know, battening down the hatches where you are now?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to the city next month because there's all of these amazing things that I'm missing now. I'm starting to get that FOMO of they now have outdoor dining and things are starting to open up a little bit more. But my apartment is still tiny. That hasn't changed. So
it's not magically grown.
I know. Wouldn't that be amazing if I just return back from a 4 month hiatus and I go, oh, wow, my apartment is a gorgeous palace now with a beautiful home office setup. So I think once I figure out, you know, how to kind of build my space to be workable at home, that'll be when I can return.
And Kriku, how's kind of life at the minute? So what has been affected? Have things closed down, or are things kind of opening up again? And I guess what is open as well?
Yeah. So I think in the past month, things have slowly started opening again. I've been slow to participate. I've always been a little bit of a germaphobe, a little bit of a hypochondriac. I've gone out and eaten at restaurants on the street now. They have bars, have street seating as well. I know there have been a few instances of people taking it a little too far. There was a big story in Astoria a couple weeks ago about this like sort of street party that was going on.
Okay.
And a bar had to be shut down. But I think for the most part, people are kind of inching back to getting as much of the summer as they can get, seeing their friends and seeing their family that they didn't see for months at a time. I think people are feeling a lot safer outside. Yeah. So there are a lot more things to do outside and a lot more people are meeting in smaller groups now.
Yeah. How did New Yorkers react to the lockdown? Like, was it kind of a feeling of fear or sort of, you know, hope around everyone uniting together and keeping each other safe? Like, what was the kind of general vibe amongst New Yorkers?
So I feel like that's kind of tough to suss out because I wasn't seeing anybody, right? So I only had me and the direct folks I was talking to and kind of what I could see in my own neighborhood.
Yeah.
But I think people were being very cautious just because we were hit very hard.
Yeah.
A lot of people were affected in their own family. Even I went to a funeral in April and an aunt of mine passed away from the virus. So it affected me directly.
Yeah.
Her son even told me all of his friends had someone in their family as well.
Goodness.
So I think because like everyone had some sort of, not everyone, but a lot of people had this sort of firsthand connection. A lot of people did take it seriously because they saw it affecting people right in front.
Yeah, it was close to home. So therefore they kind of, they respected it and stayed at home, I suppose.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I definitely agree with that. I went, I think at the beginning of the virus, when we were all doing a lot more of social interacting via Zoom, because really people weren't going outside, as Kweku was saying, I was on a video chat with, it was kind of like this mini party, this trivia night with a bunch of people, a bunch of my friends and a bunch of people I didn't know. And I would say 60% of the people on that video were either currently infected with coronavirus or had been extremely ill because of the virus. And I think just seeing that, those staggering statistics in place, and they hadn't even been, a lot of them hadn't been tested because there was all of these problems with testing in the beginning. So they weren't even part of the official number count. So I think that when you see how badly the city was just impacted, and as Kweku was saying, so many people, friends of friends and families, are part of this kind of horrible story that the city was going through, it was impossible to kind of not react very strongly, you know. And I think that that's why everyone is and was taking it really, really seriously.
And would you say that kind of, that sort of concern has like permeated into the city now, when you've got like kind of obviously you know, Lauren, but Kweku, like with like restaurants being open, people being quite respectful, like you know, being quite careful with things as well?
It's a spectrum.
Yeah, I guess this is like anywhere, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I definitely, as far as regulations go, I think people are trying to be careful about, you know, each phase of the lockdown, how far we loosen these regulations.
Yeah.
I think most people are wearing their masks. I think there's a bit of a stigma to walking around without a mask on.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm a snitch, but
everywhere.
Sorry. Oh yeah. Oh, I was just saying, I ain't no snitch, but I definitely have seen some bars that aren't respecting social distancing.
Call them out. Down. Call them out.
But, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be, it's kind of new rules for everyone, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen same thing in London when I've been kind of going around and about, like some people not wearing masks, some people like kind of thinking that the regulations either aren't relevant for them or coming in later. It's such a woolly time, really. And you know, when travelers start to come back, fingers crossed, obviously you might not want them right the second, I don't know.
And even right now, they for other states in the country, I think there are 31 states last I checked, and I mean this stuff's changing every day, where it's a mandatory 14-day quarantine if you come back to New York from other states.
I mean, but when things do start to come back, kind of, will there be sort of any major difference? You think there's a permanent effect on the city from this time, or do you kind of hope that it'll all kind of recover and get back to usual, or is it just completely unknown?
I have a hunch that the outdoor emphasis that's going on right now, for example, with restaurants taking over seating, restaurants are taking over parking spaces, and they've opened up these amazing like outdoor terraces. I'm getting a lot of pictures from my friends and it makes me very jealous. But I think that things like that might kind of be a holdover to post-corona days, where people kind of see, oh, this is a very European and nice addition to our summers. Like maybe even when things are back to normal and we have a vaccine, or, you know, things are just feeling a little bit more normal, we can kind of hold on to those nice additions and, you know, embracing, I don't want to say nature because it's New York City, but embracing the great outdoors. And I hope that things like that will kind of be a legacy that will maintain.
And sort of then, you know, kind of that sort of positive outlook, have there been any sort of good news stories or sort of coronavirus heroes who've kind of come out of the woodwork over the past few months in New York?
So I do remember, oh man, I wish I had his name top of mind. One story that stuck with me was a doctor who came out of retirement to actually treat people during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And he actually passed away from COVID-19. Oh, I don't know if you guys heard of that story. Oh, and I wish I had the name to mind to attach to it. But I mean, there were stories like that, doctors coming back and people coming from other parts of the country to come help, everyone really just banding together.
Yeah.
And I guess not sort of a bittersweet type of story, but I mean, there's been a whole wave of protests for social justice in the country. And I feel like a lack of distractions have forced people to kind of reckon with that. So I think this has also kind of made that a bit stronger, and hopefully that's a holdover going forward. People don't lose that stream of action.
Yeah. You're right. Kind of people sort of finally stopping and listening and learning, then giving Black Lives Matter real momentum as you said, bittersweet, I suppose, is a good word to use from that respect.
Yeah.
I will say that I think that this is just making people think so much about the future and how excited people are for a future that looks a little bit more normal. And I think we're not going to take for granted the little things and the big things like traveling and going out to restaurants and, you know, having a cozy glass of wine with friends. I think before, when we might have been a little bit busy because New York is obviously such a hectic, ever-changing, kind of stressful place to be sometimes, it's really easy to say, oh no, I'm too busy, I have too much work. And I think going forward, everyone just has so much pent up excitement about just going out and doing everything and trying so many new things. Yeah. That I think that there will be this really exciting sense of renewal and rejuvenation once things kind of go back to quote unquote normal.
Yeah.
Do you have like a place, Lauren, that, I mean, obviously you've been away from the city for 4 months now, but when, you know, they first opened up pubs here, I can like, you know, I went down to one of my favorite pubs and had a pint and it was amazing. It was a bittersweet feeling almost, like, because it was sort of strange that I hadn't been there for so many months. But do you have like a place that you're dreaming about?
Well, there's this Thai restaurant right next to my house. Those noodles are just unreal. I have actually had dreams about those noodles. And I think that all I want to do is go sit in that restaurant, have a lychee martini, eat the noodles with, oh, just everything. I'm getting so excited just talking about it. But yeah, going and
sounds
eating
great.
Food.
How about you, Kweku? Is there something that you were sort of fantasizing about?
Getting some of those food items like in a restaurant would be great. Uber Eats is, no, it's not the same.
Okay.
But
yeah, for sure.
I think really, man, I mean, it sounds like animalistic and brutish. I just want to party.
Yeah,
it's all pent up. But
Kweku, in your flat or out? Where do you want to party? What's the setting? Paint us a picture.
Anywhere. Oh, definitely out. I want to be out of this place. But I really feel like that. We're probably like over a year from that. Even when things open back up, I don't think that's even. I just got to give up on that one.
You want some live music, some nice drinks.
Yeah.
Your mates around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so funny that you're saying this because at the start of the pandemic, when I was just going so stir crazy, and I was like, this can't keep going. You know, there has to be an end point. I can't be with my parents for this many weeks on end. Mm-hmm. And I had this moment, this kind of breaking point where all I wanted to do was go to a club and just like have blasting music and drinking just amazing cocktails and just being in a crush of people, which was of course the antithesis of everything that we could do. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even normally that much of a club goer, but I totally agree with you. I've had this insane urge to just go out dancing, be with all of my friends and like be with people and just kind of like feel the music and be able to just mm-hmm. be free kind of. So yeah, we had the same exact mm-hmm. thought. Like, let's go party. Yeah.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So now we're going to look at what next for New York City. So what after coronavirus or COVID? And as a kind of open question to start us off, and we touched on this a little bit before, but what are your hopes for New York City after coronavirus?
So I guess right now, before I even think too far into the future, I just hope that we're, I guess, following scientific research and opening things back up in a way that we don't regress.
Yeah.
So that we can get to the future. I think that's really the first thing to think about, right? Yeah. So hopefully not packing the bars too much too soon, not having just too many big gatherings before we can.
Yeah.
So not just returning to normal, doing it in a safe, considered, and you know, like a long plan almost rather than a short game.
Exactly. Because I feel like if we don't do that, then there's never going to be normal. So we got to, just hold our breath for a little bit.
Yeah.
Lauren, how about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited to physically get back there. And as I said, kind of take advantage of some of the outdoor dining. But like Kwaku, I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. So right now, I think I'm going to be taking it slow. But I think right now, the focus should and can be, aside obviously from the health factor, is local businesses and how much they're hurting. And, you know, I just think of all of my amazing, as I said, restaurants and just the little boutiques and thrift stores and bars. There's such an intense culture of local businesses that it's what makes New York special. It's these little tiny shops that you stumble upon and then they become your places, and they're run by, you know, individual shop owners a lot of the time. So it's a little bit scary to me that there's not a lot of, there's not a lot of policy in place to help them right now. But I think that, or I hope that we're all aware of that and, you know, trying to support them in as many ways that we can. I don't know. I know that's not a very good answer, but I think about the shop owners all the time and just, you know, keeping that culture alive.
But do you think that amongst New Yorkers, there is kind of like a new move to purposefully shop more at local businesses and dine more at those local small restaurants? Do you think that New York has a real sense of community? They want to do that to then kind of keep those businesses running?
Yeah, I think definitely there is a sense of beyond just going to a restaurant because it's good. It's kind of like, I don't want to say our civic duty to support small businesses, but in a way it is, because if we don't support these small businesses, big chains are going to be the only thing that's left. And that's, that's really, you can find a big food chain or fast food chain in literally every city around the world. And that's not what makes New York special. But these businesses were already struggling a lot of the times before Corona, which is the scariest thing, that, you know, running a restaurant, for example, is so difficult in New York. And I think stories are coming out more and more now about how hard it is to pay your staff and to turn a profit and then being out of business for at least a month, maybe 2 months. If you're not allowed to do takeout, if you don't have the capacity to do takeout, you're still out of business. It's just, I don't know. The ramifications are very scary in a way. I know that wasn't an uplifting response, but
it's not the most uplifting time.
It's realistic, but I think you know, you talk about that kind of pride that New Yorkers have in the city, and a lot of that is built from kind of, you know, the independent enterprise that kind of underpins a lot of New York, right? Like, you know, you've got going to get into Times Square again, like Times Square is like mass sort of consumerism, but actually you go anywhere else and you get like the kind of smallest little places and kind of lots of like kind of individual sort of bars and restaurants and bookshops and everything that have kind of, you know, been people's dreams to create. And, you know, it's such a shame if that goes to waste, really. I think you touched on it really nicely. So, and I'm guessing not, but we're asking this to everyone. So do you guys have any travel plans yourself, apart from obviously Lauren actually going back to the city?
I know, that's my big 2020 travel plan. Go home.
How long does it actually take you to get into the city? And will you be like taking the subway?
I would have to take the train to the subway. It would probably take me 3-ish hours, 3.5.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
That's like crossing most of Britain.
That's like southeast to southwest England.
Yeah, okay, that is traveling. But have you guys got any plans to travel, like, kind of interstate, or, well, in-state, or kind of domestically? Or Kwaku, are you planning to try and go back to Canada when you can?
Yeah, so as those fares started dropping down, I'm a bit of a gambler sometimes. So I saw a few deals that were too good to pass up, and I also saw some policies that allowed us to get like one free change. I did book a flight to Tanzania next March. I got $500. Whoa. I couldn't say no to that.
That's so cool. Tanzania.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they are also doing an awful job with I won't talk about how they're handling coronavirus and how I disagree with it, but and then I bought a few other tickets as well. So I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have to change most of them. But in a window of like 2 years or so, I just thought for those prices, I might as well try and plot that out.
And if you can get a change as well, there's mm-hmm. a certain insurance policy there, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So where else is on your list, Kwaku?
So I also have Australia. I Ooh. Had that one for Ooh. September, but that's clearly not happening. I mean, nobody wants us. We can't go anywhere.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's probably like Australia winter 2021.
Yeah.
Like December 2021 for me. And I had plans to go back to Ghana as well. That's where my family's from.
Okay.
So
when do you think that will be? When do you think you'll be able to go back to Ghana?
It's just so hard to tell with everything these days. Like I know I want to say December because that's when I planned for it.
Yeah.
So in my mind, this like brutish optimism just saying December, December, December.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I have to wait and see.
There's no science to me saying that. Yeah.
Sure.
That's quite a lot of journeys to be looking forward to. That's quite a lot to kind of hold on to and kind of keep.
And
longer than Lauren's three-hour commute from upstate to New York City.
Were you supposed to be going to Colombia, Lauren?
I was supposed to be going to Colombia I had a lot of travel plans. I had Colombia lined up. I was probably going to go to Iceland, St. Louis for a college reunion. I was thinking of trying to go somewhere else in Central America in the summer. So I have this newfound habit during lockdown where I have been trolling Airbnb like no other. And I basically build out this alternative life for me of like, okay, well, if I move to Buenos Aires for 3 months in December, what will my life look like? Where will I live? And it is amazing, but it's also really horrible because then I kind of come out of this weird travel trance that I'm in. I'm like, well, I'm actually not going anywhere. But hoping that all of that can happen, like Kwaku said, in 2021. So I do think things are going to get back to some semblance of normal at some point in the next year. So that's when all of our fun travel plans will have to happen.
Yeah. And I guess finally, you're both working. Well, in fact, all three of you are working on the Like a Local series. How are you finding that?
It's incredibly exciting. We've currently got 6 titles in the works and New York City is one of them. For me, I love commissioning. I love one of my favorite things about my job is working with authors. And I know I'm not just saying that because 2 of them are on this call, but genuinely, I love commissioning. I love working with writers. I love kind of, you know, doing their copy and getting them excited and kind of having those conversations with them. So for me to kind of be talking to people across the world about different cities and hearing how they're doing and how those cities are coping, it is really exciting. And I suppose for me, it's also nice because it is all about those local businesses that these guys were currently touching on. So it's really nice to kind of be encouraging people to think about how they're interacting in those cities, different ways to experience it, not heading to those busy tourist traps, but to think about alternative ways to see a city that might be more environmentally friendly or COVID friendly, and also to then be, you know, shopping or dining at those smaller businesses. So I'm really enjoying it because I feel like we're doing quite an exciting thing in quite uncertain times, and we've got some brilliant talents who are working on that.
Amazing.
But then 2 of my writers are on the line, so I'll cover my ears while they tell you, James, honestly, how they're finding working on the series.
Yes, how have you guys found it? I mean, Kwaku, is this the first book you've ever written for?
So for me, it's the first book. And the experience so far has been great. Needed like a lot of guidance from Lucy on it, but I've gotten a lot of help in getting everything together and organized for how I'm trying to write certain things. And I'd say it's been great to kind of revisit places in my mind that I used to go to before we were locked down.
And just kind of
hoping that these places I'm listing are still going to be in a good condition and everything afterwards. But as things start to open back up, maybe going back out, reconnecting with them, making sure that updating, I guess, how they're operating, making sure that they're still in operation. I'm looking forward to doing that. So getting back out into the city and going back through all the recommendations I'm giving.
Yeah, we are building in time to kind of go back and check across all the cities. All the authors have said, can I just check? I'm really worried that the places are closing, and we are very, very aware of that. So we will kind of be checking up on that. But no, Kweke, your copy is wonderful. You've got such a lovely turn of phrase about you. So it's a joy to talk to you about your copy.
Oh, thanks.
Truly.
And Lauren, I guess you're kind of probably, because you've been away from the city for so long, you're actually building up in your head all of your recommendations, and you know, that kind of mental visitation must have been pretty fun, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I just submitted to Lucy actually this weekend the first couple chapters, which were food and drink. So obviously that was a bit torturous to write because I wanted to visit every single place. I would just be, you know, looking at pictures on their websites, and I would just be remembering, oh wow, this noodle dish, as I said before, is just so good. I want it right now. And I'd look at this coffee shop and I'd say, oh, I miss their amazing lattes. They're just so frothy. And I would perhaps kill someone right now to get one of these this moment. So it was a little bit of like a forbidden love situation going through it, but it's been really, really fun at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, Lauren kicked off New York City, so she kind of submitted the first draft of the outline. And I have to say, because then as we sort of touched on earlier, I did see Lauren in New York a couple of few months ago, and then I was like, damn, all these places that I'd missed going through the outline. Like, oh, I wanted to go here, I wanted to go there. Like, why didn't I go to that place?
Definitely so
next time.
And I guess the idea of the series is to kind of, you know, flip a traditional guide on its head in a way, in terms of it's not necessarily about your checklist of all of the stuff that you have to do, you know, to be a proper tourist or something like that. Instead, it's kind of everything that normal people do.
And I think the beautiful thing about the series is that then it can be people rediscovering their own cities. So, for example, another city is London. And, you know, whilst I've been commissioning London in lockdown in my East London flat, I've had massive wanderlust for my own city, and I've been learning about all these corners and all these new places, all these new neighbourhoods I haven't yet been to. So these aren't just guides for people looking to jump on a flight. They're also books for locals to rediscover their cities and find new corners.
Sort of explode a city in a way.
Yes.
And give it, reassess it. Yeah, because I've been to New York about 6 or 7 times. I used to have like family who lived over there, and I'm so excited to read these recommendations. I mean, one of the best things about going to New York as a Brit is everyone you talk to always has like a long list of recommendations. So Lauren gave me her list when I went over there, but actually over here as well, like you talk to some friends and everyone has like their favorite places to go to, and actually seeing that codified in a book will be super, super exciting.
And kind of, I think this might have been in, you know, your initial description of the book, Lucy, but what I've been thinking of as I went through first doing the outline and then now writing the actual copy, I'm thinking, okay, my cool, really good friend that I love so much, she's coming to New York and I want to show her the best weekend possible. What would be on my hit list? What kinds of stuff if she's a shopper, where do I need to take her? If she loves cozy little restaurants, where are the best places I would want to take her? It's not, you know, you're not writing for any preconceived notion of what New York is. You're writing about your favorite places for your favorite people, basically.
Exactly. And I think the whole series is all about kind of treating readers like a friend and putting your arm around them and saying, like, here's my version of New York, or here's my version of London.
Kweke, how hard has it been to sort of pare down your list in a way? You know, if you're kind of thinking about everywhere that you live in the city, like, have you been curating? Have you been chopping and changing and going, actually, no, this place is better than that place? And
Yeah, definitely. And there are even a few places where after Lucy reviewed them, I went back and I was like, actually, I think I like this one a little bit more. So that's even still kind of been a work in progress. And I got to say, one thing I do really like about the topics you guys have chosen to focus on. A lot of times when people come to New York, they're not thinking about the things to do outdoors, and there's been a pretty good focus on that.
Yeah.
So I've also liked thinking about all the things I've done outdoors, all the things I want to do here outdoors, and things that aren't even necessarily within the city limit, but are still attainable for people coming to visit.
Yes.
I think that's an angle I'm excited to approach as well.
Oh, I'm really glad. And that's something that we feel kind of, you know, particularly post-coronavirus is important, that we kind of encourage people to get outdoors. And then you can properly see a city. That's how you're often going to kind of really soaking up the atmosphere of the streets, is being on the streets. So it's, yeah, I'm just really, I'm two fantastic authors, and I'm really excited. I've said to you both on a call already, I'm really excited about New York. You're both brilliant, and it's going to be it's going to be great, guys. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Right, that's such blush, a nice Lucy. Little ego. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Well, obviously, that Like a Local New York is slated to come out in April next year.
Yes, yes.
And fingers crossed for everything for the future with New York. But yeah, thanks so much for joining us today, guys. It's been so insightful listening to you guys talk about New York. I mean, both kind of, you know, hearing some of the hard times that you guys have been through recently, but also, you know, there's lots of positives there. There's lots of hope for the future. And I really am looking forward to that that club date next year. That's going to be fun.
I'm going to write out formal invitations. You are formally invited to the club dance party in New York City post-coronavirus.
Awesome.
Please.
Wear your finest. Get excited. God.
What do I wear? I've got a whole year to think about that.
It's going to haunt you.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much again, guys. And yeah, really hoping kind of everything goes well there in the next couple of months. And yeah, really excited to see the book come out as well. It's going to be great. So thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
To get closer to New York City yourself, our DKL Witness New York City Guide is now available. Whether you want to visit the iconic Empire State Building, take a leisurely stroll through Central Park, or sample the sublime cocktails in East Village, your DKL Witness Travel Guide makes sure you experience all that New York City has to offer. Find it in all good retailers or on Amazon via the link in our episode description.
And once again, a massive thank you to Lauren and Quincy for being brilliant guests and brilliant writers.
Absolutely. That was really, really enjoyable. Thanks so much, guys. So where are we going to next, Lucy?
So next time on the podcast, we will be going to Scotland.
Ah, pretty different.
Yeah, pretty different, but a little bit closer to home for you and me.
Yes, yes, that's true. Well, I'll look very much forward to it. And then until then, thanks very much for listening.
And see you next time, guys. It's a Go was produced by the team at DKI Witness and presented by James Atkinson and Lucy Richards. For more information about DKI Witness, follow us on social media at DKI Witness or visit dk.com/iWitness.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.